Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
ta-da! I'm living proof, baby. Miracles happen.
How about that?
You laugh, Alan, but Google's bailed me out of a lot of things. I'm telling you, I had muscle cramps. It said eat walnuts, almonds, and bananas. I've been eating them like crazy. No cramps. Who needs doctors when you got Google?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the RP Show. It's episode number 403 of Canada's daytime sports talk show. RP here, Darren Moose DuPont there. How you doing, Moose?
Couldn't be better. On top of the world.
You were pointing something out.
Gary's comment.
Gary in Winnipeg's watching and he says, welcome. Where's my bell? Welcome to viewers on the Game Plus Network. 13 days until 2 hours on the RP Show. Liked and shared from Winnipeg. Thank you so much. And one more. William May, a viewer, says, Rod, when you get that sports holiday down south, I would love to be on that gravy train. Well, we were supposed to be in Miami, Florida in 2020, and COVID took care of that. We don't have any plans yet for 2021.
No, right? But we're starting.
Yeah, and don't let me get derailed. My mind's on a track here. I just want to point out that everybody refers to Moose as my sidekick, and he's actually the owner of the show. So I just want to point that out. I did it an hour ago. You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I said okay. Thank you an hour one.
And people are, yeah, but it's all new.
I know. That's right.
It's hour one on Game Plus. So we had Stevie Baggs with us, NFL, CFL veteran in hour one, the star of season 3 of Cobra Kai. He was with us an hour ago. And as Gary in Winnipeg's pointed out, in 12 days, you're not going to have to worry about us saying hour one, hour two, because both hours are going to be on Game Plus. And you'll get all the best guests and all the best sports talk, and you won't have missed anything, right?
Yeah.
And same thing here this hour. Jermaine Franklin joins us from TSN, a longtime friend of ours. Oh, Prairie Mobile Communications is watching. Shay, he says, a sponsor's couch? Maybe one day Prairie Mobile will get an invite to it.
It's an open, yeah. It's an open invitation, but we should, once we can get people back in here on a regular basis.
Yeah, COVID killed it.
It did.
COVID killed the sponsor's couch, so enter at your own peril. Anyways, I had a little rant at the end of hour one. I'll save it here for a little later on in the warm-up. That's the segment we're in here for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. Let's get into the quick six show topics, please, Director Jordan, because I feel people are punchy today. The comments are not in a bad way, but people are, they're excited.
Yeah.
Right? They're in a good mood today. So let's start with point one, and that is Monday NHL leftovers. Now, I tweeted these. You can go to my Twitter account, and I would love it if you did, at Rod Peterson Show. But for those that didn't see it, I'll say it now. On Monday, the Leafs beat the Winnipeg Jets 3-1 in a game. It wasn't good, no. Other than your Leafs won, but the game was boring. It's nobody's fault. It's my fault for raising my expectations so high that this was Ali Frazier. And it wasn't that.
It was.
It's not even a week into the regular season, okay?
Yeah.
So, anyways, the Leafs won. They're number one in Canada. They're very cocky, led by Mitch Marner. And that's fine. And that's upset Leaf fans, particularly producer Clark. I'm really just trolling, but I got the reaction I wanted. He's all upset at me.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Barking at me on Twitter. He's one of those guys. What else? The Habs beat the Oilers 3-1. After Saturday's Oilers loss to Montreal, Terry Jones of the Edmonton Sun wrote that it's panic time. So what now? You're 1-3. You are like Tom Cochran, sinking like the sunset. And at what point do you scrap it all? It's led to the poll question today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, and we didn't spend as much time on this as we should have in hour one. Will Connor McDavid ask for a trade? Yes, no, or he should. 1 hour ago, the vast majority was saying no, and that's held up here an hour or two. No. And does that not tell you the difference between Canadian hockey players and American football players? You know, when we talk about Deshaun Watson, I want out. I don't like the direction of the team. I don't like where we're going. I want out. Same with Leonard Fournette and Jalen Ramsey and James Harden. It's not just football. But here's McDavid just crawling through the muck and the slime and the sledge in Edmonton for how many years? This is year six now?
Mm-hmm.
And Clark says five. I thought it was six. They were talking about it on the broadcast last night. And he hasn't once given you any indication that he wants out.
No.
But it might be getting to the time.
That's what you want out of your leader, somebody who's going to stick with it. That's going to, you know, I feel like the fan base and the team isn't a real likable one yet, but they're on their way. If they go through this and Connor McDavid sticks and Draisaitl sticks and they find their way, they could get back to being the lovable Oilers from 06. The hardworking, paid their dues, you know, and the whole country just wants them to catch a break and win Oilers. They're not there yet, but if Connor starts stomping his feet, which he's shown no signs of wanting to do, but if he does, that's going to be a bad look. So I like that he's not talking about it, but man, you just got a feel for the guy. When you're the best in the world at what you do, he should be rewarded with some sort of, you know, competency around him.
I was right. It's year six. I'll take apologies. Sorry. Larry in Medicine Hat says, the sun doesn't sink, the earth rotates. You're not familiar with Tom Cochran, Sinking Like a Sunset, Life is a Highway? Go buy it at Sam the Record Man. I said people are feeling punchy. They're feeling cocky. They're getting in my face.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, the Golden Knights. Wait till they start playing 60 minutes. Like last night, it's 2-0 late in the second period for the Arizona Coyotes at Vegas. I'm like, okay, Knights, turn it on anytime. I'd like to go to bed. And they did in 1-4-2, and the Golden Knights are now 3-0. Here's the difference between the Oilers and the Golden Knights is when the Oilers are down 2-0, it's over. What a terrible indictment of your hockey team that everybody knows you're not going to fight back.
Yeah.
So there is panic in Edmonton, and for good reason. And that's about it, other than Semyon Varlamov's got back-to-back shutouts for the Islanders. I think he's the first Islanders goalie in franchise history to open the season with two consecutive shutouts, 14th in NHL history. So we're paying attention to what's going on down in there in Long Island, Joe Lozito.
Yeah.
We are, even though we're here in the Bermuda Triangle where we live in the sweatpants capital. Tonight, point two. There are 8 games in the National Hockey League, and the biggest one is Winnipeg at Ottawa, as far as we're concerned. See if the Jets can get back on track, because last night they just looked disinterested. The Leafs wanted it more than Winnipeg last night, and that is not a good trait to have. Viewer William May says, the best part of your show is Friday for football talk. Well, then you'll be happy here. Point three, Brady versus Rodgers in Sunday's NFC Championship game. Green Bay's favored by 4. We kicked it around an hour ago. I probably won't go as deep here as we did an hour ago, but that's not a whopping line. But it is a conference championship game, and let's be honest with you. Tom Brady's already a winner. We can look at that like that. He can't.
No.
Right? But who would have thought they'd have got this far? I didn't even think they would get this far.
I know. And the stat that came up this morning as I'm listening to the radio online, it was that Tom Brady has now reached a conference championship as a starting quarterback in 3 different decades.
Wow.
Like, unbelievable. Those words should never be spoken. So it's pretty unbelievable. But no matter what happens, you know, there's a lot of talk that, oh, this might... You know, put Rodgers in the conversation for the greatest of all time. It's not going to. He's only 37, right? Brady's older. He's been around long. Rodgers has a little bit more to prove, but this is going to be one for the ages. It really will be. It might not be one of the greatest games of all time, but anytime you have two legends going against each other, just even like last weekend, I know it wasn't the best display of football, but it was still an amazing game between Brady and Drew Brees. It's going to be great again.
Oh, Sunday. Get out your Tostitos, your Doritos, anything with the toes, Cheetos.
Oh, yeah.
And get ready for it. And then point four, Patrick Mahomes status. If I'm Andy Reid, I'm stretching this out all week. As of right now, they haven't announced it, right?
Right.
So we don't know, but Patrick Mahomes is going to play. It's a conference championship.
Yeah.
And KC is favored by 3. Point five, Should Charleston Hughes take a pay cut? Local radio station here, CJME, the Green Zone, had that as their poll question yesterday. And I thought, did we miss the boat? Should we have had that as our poll question? And then I thought, well, it may not pertain to our entire audience of what we do, but it's a bigger question here. In Winnipeg, you've now seen the biggest stars on the team. Adam Big Hill, Zach Caleros, Willie Jefferson taking really big pay cuts in some cases. And now with the Riders, some really big names are being asked to do the same. Charleston Hughes, Ed Gainey, Solomon Elamimian. It's ugly. It's really ugly times in the CFL right now. In our morning meeting, I said, should we just not talk about it? Should we just move on and go NFL and NHL? Maybe bring on some CHL guys? We talked about Mark Hunter and Andre Tournier, right? Guys like that. Maybe we just don't want to talk about this because it's so ugly with all the pay cuts that are being taken. And the one viewer, Jack in Vulcan, Alberta, yesterday got quite animated. He's like, Charleston should be allowed to do whatever he wants. Nobody's saying he's not, dude. And as a matter of fact, with all these players that are wanting out, like Deshaun Watson and so forth, now more than ever, especially the pandemic has exposed this, you need to do what's best for you. Charleston Hughes does not owe the Saskatchewan Roughriders anything. He does not. You know that. That's I don't right. need to ask for your response because you know that. Do those Bombers owe Winnipeg anything? They don't either. But they want to be there because they're coming off a Grey Cup championship. And they believe in the future of the franchise moving ahead. Maybe these big-name Riders do too. But the point is, if Charleston Hughes isn't being paid what he thinks he's worth, he doesn't owe it to anybody to take less money. That's where I stand on that. And as I said to you at the end of the show, I can't remember if it was off or on yesterday, I said, do you think they're slashing CFL salaries to the point that they could play without fans? Like they're just going to raise just enough money to pay these guys with the reduced wages that they can get to the field without fans. Your response was, do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
You were like, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, all signs would point to that. And I did say, you know, it's not the player's responsibility to pay for the debts of the team. So if
I don't remember you saying that, but that's good.
If you're only getting players to cut salaries so that you can make money to pay off debts from the past, it's not the player's responsibility to pay off your debts. But if it's, hey, look, this is going to make it easier for us to play with no fans. Great. And if we get fans back in and we have more money back in, then maybe it's tied to bonuses that you can get paid back what you're worth. And so I hope that. And with Charleston, perhaps that they're asking him to take more of a pay cut than he's willing. You know, I'm assuming, you know, assuming knowing the guy that he's probably willing to take some sort of a pay cut. Everybody else is.
Who knows?
But maybe not. But maybe it's just, you know, astronomical and way more than he feels that he needs to do or wants to do or is willing to do.
He can whittle it down to this. Charleston, what do you want to do? Where do you want to play? Because it isn't necessarily all about money. I would tell any young player to go back and watch the interview from Hour One with Stevie Bags, where he said it isn't about the money. If you're chasing money somewhere else, you will have made a mistake.
Yeah.
Is Charleston Hughes old enough to understand that? I think so. Do you feel valued in Saskatchewan? Do you like your role in this defense? I think the answer to all of those things would be yes. But that's Charleston's decision. If you have to hold your nose to sign this contract with a pay cut, you don't feel good about it, then don't do it. From Murray Fisher writes in, he says, boy, CFL players would almost have to play for free to allow the game to be played without fans. We don't know what's going on behind the curtain with the CFL. We literally don't. I've written it in my past couple of columns. I would hope they're coming up with creative ways of revenue generation, like selling the division names, ads on the uniforms, whatever the heck it takes. And I got to think that they are. So between a combination of the pay cuts and some new revenue streams, they probably will hit the field. And actually, we want the CFL to play. My gosh, we talk about it every day. Can you imagine if there were games and there was an actual race and we had fans from every team coming in here every day to talk about the games? Look, we want it. So it really is starting to look like they are going to play, but it's not going to be what we're used to. For 2021. And then beyond that, who knows? Shall I move on?
Yeah, let's.
Point six. The Raptors won 116-93 over the Dallas Mavericks last night. No, I wasn't watching. The NHL was on. Are you kidding me? Plus, the NFL Network was talking about this weekend's conference championships. But I did watch the highlights, and I watched the post-game interviews, and I'm saying, who the hell are these guys? What was the guy's name? Stanley Johnson, Clark? Stanley Johnson? Some newbie with the Raptors. So Darren actually, in hour one, made this program. And I went off on a lengthy rant near the end of hour one. What'd you say? Tell the viewers what you said.
I said, the teams don't want to put in the work to make programs anymore. And I pulled that off in 2 minutes.
I know. What it cost you?
It's not fancy.
What it cost you?
About 2.5 cents for the paper and ink and 2 minutes of my time.
You're very good at this, by the way.
I appreciate it.
But listen, these are your Toronto Raptors. Paul Watson. Jalen Harris. The aforementioned Stanley Johnson, former Arizona Wildcat. Malachi Flynn from Halifax. The usual. Obviously, Kyle Lowry, Terrence Davis. Utah Wanatabi. He's a sophomore. Fred Van Vliet. We all know Fred, of course. They still have that core. Norman Powell. But there's a lot of Spicy P. But my rant was, why don't they make programs anymore? I don't understand it. I asked you to bring that out and put it on the coffee table. Hold that up, please.
Yeah.
Explain what that is.
So this is the Houston Texans game day program.
From our last sports trip
Houston
we went on.
Houston Texans game day.
Packed full of ads. Player bios,
pictures. I mean, we could hang like fans. How about that?
Featured fans.
Cute.
Let's honor
right?
our fans.
Pictures of all the executives. Note from the coach. Now, a lot of this stuff you only have to create once. I'm sure that letter from Bill O'Brien.
It's a collector's item now,
but I bet you that's in every single game day program, right?
As I pointed out, with my teams in the past, this is what I can't work in sports anymore. I said, why are we not handing out programs anymore? We don't even make them. Why are we not doing this? And I got the sponsors aren't dying to be in our print ads, Rod. It's dying. Why is it about the sponsors? Why can we not give the fans a damn lineup? What's the problem with that? But I'm the dinosaur, and it's not. It's all here, Rod. I get that all the time.
The point.
But when you're in an arena with crappy Wi-Fi, it's hard to download the programs. Why can you not run off 20,000 of these and hand them out at the door?
And the point of me grabbing this was literally that we were there over a year ago. This is still sitting on display here in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
In the back for
and
our viewers.
Every day.
And people come back. They pick it up. They look through it. It's great.
Jeff in Winnipeg says, as much as I'm more of an NCAA NFL fan, we need the CFL back. And I will finish the warm-up by saying this. The CFL will play in 2021. All signs are pointing to that. And that's the best news you're going to get today. We'll be right back with Jermaine Franklin. You're watching the RP Show live across Canada in all 10 provinces and across America in 31 states on Game Plus TV, live daily on YouTube, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. We do have breaking news today. It's come down the pipe on my TSN notification. Tonight's game between the Carolina Hurricanes and Nashville Predators has been postponed out of an abundance of caution, the NHL announced, obviously due to COVID reasons. And USA Today informing me the New York Mets thought they had the right person for the general manager position, but Jared Porter had to be fired. That came down today. So we'll get to that in a sports update. But let's go to Jermaine Franklin now from the TSN Sports Center desk. Well, from his home, but that's what he's doing now. Frankie, good day. Happy Tuesday. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Great to see you, Rod.
It is great to see you, as always. And I have to say, you really look to be loving this latest chapter of your life and anchoring Sports Center. We all know what the previous chapter was. Has this been a great move for you, going to Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be on the desk since I was a teenager. And of course, you always dream of doing play-by-play as well. But that's later down the road, hopefully. I got to convince a few people to give me a shot at that as well. But this is exactly where I wanted to be. I don't want to say that I'm like, I don't want to act like I don't miss Calgary, because I do. I am an Ontario boy, but the West, I certainly have become a Western man since most of my adulthood was spent in Calgary. Both my kids were born there, but career-wise, there's no better place to be than on the desk for me right now with TSN, the best to ever do it.
Well, you always have a home out here, as you know, and some of your best friends, of course, are out here. But I got to say this, man, you've got that depth of knowledge of Canadian sports fans. Here's why I say this. I'm watching SportsCenter this morning. We're like 25 minutes in, no Golden Knights highlights. 35 minutes in, no Golden Knights highlights. Because I watch on my stationary bike, right? They went, started NHL, then NBA, then NFL, then Martin Luther King. And I was like, hey, where's the Golden Knights highlights? You guys must put up with what people want all across the country, is my point. Everybody wants something else, right?
Oh, absolutely. And trust me, they're putting up with me now, because I walk into the newsroom / studio and I'm like, why aren't the Flames leading? Like, let's go. Enough is enough. And it's always a tug of war and trying to figure out what's going to go first or who's going to go first. I shouldn't say it's a tug of war. We all know, unfortunately or fortunately for Leaf fans, because they are across the nation, the Leafs are always going to come up first. NFL has turned into a big, big dog as well. So we lead with them a lot. But those, like you said, the Vegas games, San Jose is terrible now, but even when you think about the West Coast games that start late, we don't see them as much. But trust me, for everybody who's out there wondering, that we are fighting. We are fighting for the West to get on the show a little bit more. And in some cases, you'll see it, because we fought so hard for it.
Well, thankfully, it is an hour, because eventually you're going to get around to those. Eventually you get to everything. It's just the order, right? And here's the other thing, because I know you're a huge NBA guy. We were having a little bit of a discussion earlier. Darren printed me off a Raptors program, because I don't know who these guys are, Frankie, that I'm watching in the highlight. I don't know who they are. So I'm like, should we just be happy that they won a championship a couple of years ago and it might be another 25 years? Or are my expectations so low? Should they be a front runner in the NBA right now?
No, they shouldn't be a front runner, but they certainly should be. It's tough when you think about contender, because you always think they'll have a chance to win when you mention contender. So let's say the Raptors definitely should be a playoff team. They should make a little bit of noise. If they come together the way that we believe that they can, maybe they'll win a first round, probably not a second. But that's okay, because if you follow the Raptors a little bit, although their plans probably have changed since Antetokounmpo did sign a long-term deal with the Milwaukee Bucks, the Raptors saved a lot of their dough for this upcoming free agent class. Now, Antetokounmpo was to be the guy that they go for the most, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So we'll see what the Raptors' plan is. We just saw James Harden move from Houston, get traded to Brooklyn. Now Brooklyn is the favorite, I'd have to say, in the East to go to the NBA Finals. Of course, the Milwaukee Bucks would have something to say for that. But when you consider the Raptors, the reason why I mentioned that, you said we could be happy with the championship they won a couple of years ago. Let's remember how that happened. It came out of the blue. Kawhi Leonard refused to go back to the San Antonio Spurs, said he wasn't going to play. Somehow Masai Ujiri worked his magic and did trade DeRozan, who was he was the heart of the Raptors basketball team, along with Kyle Lowry. But they traded DeRozan and they got Kawhi Leonard, and then they won the championship. And that is very possible that that's going to happen with Brooklyn. Now that they're healthy, when Kyrie Irving comes back, they could possibly win a championship, because they got a disgruntled James Harden and they already have Durant and Kyrie Irving. So the Raptors, perhaps down the road, they're going to find a disgruntled superstar who's ready to win with someone else, and the Raptors, with their pedigree and with their history, could win a championship again in a funny but weird way.
Yeah, I said, what a blueprint to success. You know, and Frankie, by the way, the secret sauce of this show, as you know, is the viewer interaction. And Larry in Medicine Hat is watching, and he says, the best Jermaine Franklin sideline interview was with BC Lions Solomon Elamimian. That came up in the top 10 the other night. I don't know if you were on the desk or not. It was like top 10 awkward sideline interview moments.
Yeah.
What was your side of that? What do you remember about that? And for those that don't know, Solomon Elamimian yipping at one of the Stampeders in Calgary. Tell us the story, Jermaine.
So, of course, Solly, we got Solomon Elamimian for our halftime interview, and it was very rare. Let me say this, because as you know, Rod, the Stampeders rarely are losing at halftime, and it's usually 99% of the time, it's the winning team who gets interviewed going into halftime. This time, the BC Lions, they have the lead, and Solomon Elamimian, we're about to interview him. Fred Bennett starts chirping Elamimian from behind, and Elamimian's like, who are you? Who are you? I don't even know who you are, you know? And then he kept on, and they were chirping back and forth. Of course, you see me looking back and forth, back and forth. Fred Bennett is not in the, he is not in the picture, so nobody knows who Solly is yelling at. And then all of a sudden, right out of the blue, he just goes, what's up? Just to start the interview. And it's like, okay, I'm back. Okay, because it wasn't like, it was like I didn't exist for about 30 to 40 seconds there. And now all of a sudden he's like, all right, let's go.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I was watching live at the time, of course. And then the highlight, and that just, you're like, like a traffic cop is what you look like. But, you know, I haven't talked to you about this, but I talked to Sarah Orleski about this, and I've done sideline reporting. That was the first thing I ever did in the CFL. I interviewed John Candy in 1991, Riders Argos at Taylor Field. Cool. Hardest job to do, I believe, in this business. It's not easy. You know, and what people think that it is. But, Jermaine, what, you know, what are the hard parts of that?
The hard parts for me, especially early on in my career, it was being able to organize my thoughts quickly, succinctly, and then make sure you could spit it out in 30 to 45 seconds because the next play is coming. And that was the toughest part. And then, of course, you have no idea what the your interview subject is thinking or what mood they're in. And like, I've been blown off a few times. I've had answers that are like, what is going on? Did he even hear my question? But yeah, there's so many moving parts when you're a sideline reporter, and you got to keep an eye on the play, of course, so you know what's going on. But of course, you got to keep an eye on what's going on the sidelines. Injuries, whether there's arguments between players and coaches. And the crazy thing is, out west, is the teams are not on the same sideline. If you go most of the out east, like the Tim Box or whatever it's called, Tim Hortons Field, the teams are on the same sideline. Same with BMO Field. But when you're in McMahon, you got to run back and forth 80 yards wide. You got to run around the field to get both sidelines. It's crazy, but it keeps you in shape. And those are some of the crazy things that I had to adjust to first and foremost.
That's why I wanted you to say it, because people wouldn't understand. It's stressful. And I did it for a couple of years, and I'm like, this isn't for me. Find me something else. I don't like it. Because, of course, those trainers are looking at you like, what are you looking at? What are you going to report? All of that. I'm like, this is just not for me. Are you going to get out and do any sidelines, by the way, because you have a vast experience at it, or are you going to stay primped and on the desk and not have to go out on the front lines anymore?
Well, you know, I'm a poodle now, so I'm going to be primped and whatever. But honestly, whenever they need or whatever they need out here, I will definitely help with the sidelines if they need it. And I told them that as well, because like you said, it's not an easy job. Matthew Shinetti has been doing an outstanding job of it out at East, but it's almost like he's been alone for a little while. So he might need a little tag team action, need a little help in Ottawa or Toronto or Hamilton one of these weekends. Hopefully, if we get everything under control, can't forget the world we're in right now. But if you look optimistically and positively, let's have a season this year, and I'll be more than willing to help. That's for sure.
Awesome. Well, we would like to see on the sidelines again for sure. And my bold prediction today is that they will be playing in 2021. They're going to find a way, but it's not going to be with fans, obviously. Lastly, Jermaine, we're not even a week into the NHL regular season. It's been awesome. Kind of feels like it's been going for a month, though, because people have already made their generalizations on the teams, right? Oilers are done. Leafs are number one. The usual. What's been your take on the first five, 6 nights?
I think it's been great because we've been seeing more goals. And of course, with that special interest, keeping an eye on the Flames from afar, I like the moves that they made. And you're starting to see them shape into the team that Brad Treliving probably wanted them to be, just a little bit more each year. So, of course, Markstrom, the goaltending is the key, and he has been outstanding in their wins. No surprise that he came up big against his former team who wouldn't pay him, and they're going to pay for that in Vancouver for sure. And, of course, Tanev, another Canuck who comes over. TJ Brody is gone, and he looks okay with the Leafs. He's had a rough game and an average game, but Brody, I know him, covering him for so many years. He's going to be very good for the blue and white. But that being said, back to my original point, Tanev now with the Flames, he adds that element of grit that perhaps was not naturally there on the blue line. And I think that's going to be a big step forward, especially with Elias Lindholm now at center ice. They have a number one that they can truly trust who can play in both ends of the rink. That's not to be a shot at Sean Monahan, but he's just not that talented when it comes to that grit element and playing in his own defensive zone. So now Elias Lindholm looks like he's spelled that off full time as a number one centerman who can do it all. And I think the Flames are going to look really good. And NHL overall, it's great to see. I am not sad to see Edmonton struggle a little bit. Go Canadians as they swept them out. Yeah, I'm excited. The NHL is back. Like, let's go, Ron.
And we are going. And I say every single night's like a heavyweight bout, you know, prize fight until the next night. You know, tonight it's Jets Ottawa. Last night it was Jets Leaf, Oilers Habs, Flames Canucks. It's awesome. I cannot get enough. Well, Frankie, this has been awesome. I tell you what, we had some side splitting moments here. Doesn't it feel good to laugh? Like, physically good?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, it is. It's the best medicine. It is the best medicine to laugh, smile, and talk to people that you like, respect, and know. And I appreciate you having me on the show for sure.
As always, and thanks for the kind words about the show, Jermaine. They've got back to me. I appreciate it. So we're watching every day, as you know. Stay safe, and until the next time, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Jermaine Franklin joining us from Calgary, now of the TSN Sports Center desk. But man, see, you're seeing the Jermaine you wouldn't normally see there, right?
That's what's so great, right, about having these conversations.
Right. Just going deep on the Flames, and he's obviously always going to be a dyed-in-the-wool Flames fan.
How come we're not leading with the Flames coverage?
That's probably what he's saying in there, right?
That's what he said, you know. Leafs again, we should be leading with the Flames, you know.
Well,
he's Western Canada's voice in that
newsroom. He gets it. Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's a nice compliment. They're doing their thing with their Leafs and Raptors, and we're out here in Western Canada talking about the Western teams, and it's a nice mix.
Yeah.
But it would be sad if Jermaine Franklin was not on a CFL sideline somewhere and soon.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Oh, I know, and he'll be itching to get out of the desk eventually, just to get
probably
on the side, stretch the legs a little bit, a game here, game there, and he'll be willing. He'll be like, hey, send me there. Send me to this game. I'm ready to go. So I'm sure he'll do a game here and there. I would love to see it anyway because we love seeing him on those games.
I'm just going to chip in with a couple of Prairie Mobile text messages from our viewers, and then we'll break and come back with a sports update and more of this. Metal Shingle Guy writes in from the 306, a CFL comment. He says, when Zach Evans walked, must have been about the same type of pay cut they're offering Charleston Hughes. Take the pay cut and get a signing bonus up front. 2021 ain't happening, boys. Well, if it were just that easy, right? I don't think they're handing out signing bonuses. Money is at an absolute premium, more than it has ever been in the CFL right now. You make a good point. Zach Evans was not willing to take that pay cut, and he did walk. Last we heard, he has not signed with another team. right? Maybe he's just waiting. From Jer from the 306. He writes in all caps, "The Rod Peterson Show. Belated congratulations to you and the crew on your 400th show. Looking forward to 500 plus. Thanks. Always a good listen and thoroughly enjoyed." Those are just a small sampling. Those are just the shrimp cocktail of the larger text messages that have come in.
Yeah.
And we'll get to more of them after the break and a sports update coming up. 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility Center. We'll be right back. You're watching the program on Game Plus Television across 10 provinces and 31 states. Live daily on YouTube and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Oh, I'm telling you, greatest job in the world right here. And I locked myself out of my laptop. Okay, while I'm getting back in, let's get to a clip of Will Blackman from the NFL Network, Super Bowl champion, former Saskatchewan Rough Rider. While we're talking CFL, he was on a show out of New York City this week with our good friend Julie Stewart Binks, Drinks with Binks, and he took a perceived shot at the sweatpants capital here, the heartland of the Canadian Football League, Saskatchewan, the home of the Rough Riders, where Will Blackman played one game. I believe it was my last season of 2018. I remember when he came in, and I remember when he got hurt in his first game and never played again. This is what Will Blackman of the NFL Network said with Julie Stewart Binks.
People know what it's like up there. They haven't been there. They just hear of this city that rhymes with a body part. What were your initial thoughts of just like being there?
I got off the plane and I was like, wow, I'm in Green Bay. It is the Green Bay of Canada. It's the exact same thing. It smelled like farm and manure. Everything was flat. They had all chain restaurants and they loved their football team, who was also green. So that's exactly what I said.
That's great. And it's just a little bit different. That's all. But hey, still the same passion. It's like great insane passion there, right?
Yeah. So sold out every game. Everybody's super nice. If you play for the Rough Riders, they love you. So it was cool. People were really nice in Canada. The people were nice. The coaches weren't nice.
Well, that is a tale for another time, I believe. I gotta ask you, not a lot of...
Thank you, Julie, for sending that to us, and Will Blackman for being so candid, and maybe the shot at the end of the coaches is something that you could peek into later at another time. But as far as flat everywhere, stadium sold out every game, smells like manure and farm. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't think he meant it as a shot.
No,
I don't. He might have meant it as a compliment. Green Bay, I guess. I've never been to Green Bay, but I've been to Texas many times. And I remember stepping off the plane in Austin, Texas last year going, I know that smell. That's the smell of agriculture and what we would call the smell of money. So 3downnation.com turned that into that it was a slam of Saskatchewan. Even Will Blackman didn't feel that it was. He responded to the tweet. But again, if you're telling the truth, is it really trolling?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not offended.
You're pointing it out, right? I mean, look at, you're signing with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You're not signing in LA or New York or Miami or any of these big cities or Dallas. You're signing in Green Bay, Lambeau Field. You're signing in Saskatchewan, in Regina. You know, you get what you get. That's what we're all about.
From Blake Brown, one of our viewers, I'll take that. I grew up on a farm. He's not wrong. Yeah, it's in the air.
You know when you go to grandma's house, smells like grandma's house, right? It's this is Saskatchewan, smells like home.
From Randolph Zora, he says, obviously he's talking about Coach Jones. And as it turns out, he was. But that's between them. That's between them. And it's funny, I'm quite enjoying watching Yellowstone because my wife's getting a little bit of an education on how I grew up watching that show and the ranch. Like when I say that I have a series of cattle calls, she couldn't even believe that. I have several.
Do you still have the video of you talking to the cows?
This was funny. Went to my cousin's house to play on their skate on their dugout last year. It was a row of, what, 20 cattle eating? Yeah. And I started, and all their heads popped up.
Yep.
Did Snap. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
It's
so much fun. Sports update. Jared Porter went from rising star to unemployed literally overnight. Just more than a month after joining the New York Mets as general manager, Porter was fired this morning for sending sexually explicit, uninvited text messages and images to a female reporter in 2016 when he was working for the Chicago Cubs in their front office. The Montreal Canadiens earned 5 of a possible 6 points on their 3-game road trip to begin the season after Monday's 3-1 win against the Oilers. And Johnny Gaudreau had a goal and a helper to help the Calgary Flames to a 5-2 home win over the Vancouver Canucks. The Winnipeg Jets play their second game in as many days tonight when they face the Ottawa Senators in Ottawa. It's Winnipeg's first of 3 in a row against the Senators following last night's 3-1 loss against the Leafs. The Raptors appear to have shaken off some early season rust. Kyle Lowry had 23 points and Chris Boucher scored 21 off the bench as the Raptors beat the Dallas Mavericks 116-93. There are only 2 games on today's NBA slate. Canada's Jamal Murray and his Denver Nuggets host the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Utah Jazz welcome the New Orleans Pelicans. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store corner of Rochdale and Pasqua, and for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with 8 amazing flavors. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. We're going to break and come back with a very fun overtime segment and viewer takeover. Stick with us. It's the RP Show you're watching on Game Plus TV Network. Live daily on YouTube and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm loving it. John Schmidt writes in, biggest Habs fan here and in the sweatpants capital. And that's saying a lot because there's a lot of Habs fans here. But he says they're the best Canadian team out of the 7. We're not even a week into the regular season, so just hold on. Although that could be a good face-off for the Ultimate Fan Zone, which is the best Canadian team.
Sure could.
And the Mad Greek. But hang on, guys. Hang on. I just want to read some text messages from the viewers here from the 780. John in Edmonton says, Carolina and Nashville hockey game postponed due to safety for the players. Those hockey games should be easier, I would think, to make up than the football games when they're rescheduled.
Yeah.
It seemed like a bigger headache for the football.
Well, it was because you need time to prep and heal and all that kind of. You don't need as much time in between games.
Ah, DG in Saskatoon writes in, all right, dupes, let's get the review on Tiger. But you haven't watched it yet.
That's right.
The documentary on Crave on Tiger Woods. Can you put the camera on him? He's got a monologue here. Well, he wants to go on.
A monologue, but I just think that HBO and Crave, and they dropped the ball. This doesn't happen very often, but completely dropped the ball on this because, one, I don't think anybody's watched Tiger. And I know we're going to get comments of people who say that they've watched it and how great it is. And I've seen it. Like, seen people say how great it is. But it came up with our friend Drew Koser, who put a poll up on his Twitter account. Off the Hosel podcast, who said, are you watching episode 2 of Tiger tonight? This was on Sunday when it was released. And I replied no, and I wanted to let him know. I was like, look, I haven't watched the first one. They dropped this right in the middle of the NFL playoffs on a Sunday. And right in the middle of the NHL getting started. So it's so far down the list. And, you know, when I say they dropped the ball on it, one, Tiger wasn't even involved in the documentary. So when you want to know, you know, it was a quote I saw in a review, we'd love to know what Tiger was thinking in this moment, the announcer says. Yeah, we would too, because it's not even in the documentary what he's thinking in that moment.
You didn't interview him, yeah.
And the results are in the viewership. Just 700,000 people watched Tiger on the opening day it was released. just to give a comparison, The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, the first episode, had 17 million views or 15 million views of the opening episode to 700,000 of Tigers. So I just think they would have been a lot better to release it earlier, or if it wasn't finished, wait until we got into the, you know, comfortable in the NHL and the Super Bowl was handed out. But they kind of dropped the ball on it. So I'm going
to
wait.
But as I said to you in the break, you can't plan a pandemic.
That's right.
And The Last Dance just happened to be the benefactor of splendiferous timing, similar to the Tiger King.
Yes.
Tiger King, Tiger, don't get confused.
Yeah.
John Kirby in Edmonton goes on to write in and says, the Oilers game was blacked out in Edmonton yesterday. I doubt that very much, but if that's true, consider yourself lucky you didn't get to see the orders. They're not on TSN 2. They're on Sportsnet, John.
And if it was, but if it was the TSN feed, it's not. TSN does not have any Edmonton Oilers rights.
No, they don't.
They have Montreal Canadiens rights, so it would be available in the Canadiens region.
I watched it. I have photo proof of it, Rod. I'll take your word for it, John. I don't want an argument.
Yeah.
I watched the game with Jack Michaels and Louis DeBrusque, and I thought, I made a note of it for my weekend column, how talented that Louis DeBrusque is, that he's been partnered with three play-by-play guys in the last while. Chris Cuthbert, Jack Michaels, and the new guy that had been doing Punjabi.
Yeah, Hannah Ryan.
Yamamoto!
Yamamoto!
Yamamoto! Yeah, sorry. It was ringing amazing through my ears all weekend.
I know. It's such a great call. But yeah, like for a color guy, the cadence, the relationship, when to speak. Some don't want you to talk until the whistle. Some want you to talk during the play. Like he's doing the great dance over there.
He's taking it like a real pro.
Yeah.
Ryan Kowalik says, I watched it on Sportsnet. I don't doubt for a second, John, you were blacked out on TSN trying to watch the Habs. But again, Sportsnet had the orders broadcast. Brady writes in, says, Romanov with his first career NHL goal, Shea Weber is 10th all-time in power play goals by a defenseman. He's good. He's good.
He banked that one in last night.
Yeah. So who is the best team in Canada? We're going to face off right now for the Ultimate Fan Zone and the Mad Greek. I'm just going to say this now. Ultimate Fan Zone. I need some Jets gear. I was watching the Jets game last night saying, I need some Jets gear. I don't have any. I think we need a road trip to Moose Jaw.
We could do that.
Billy! Billy!
Dry ribs and jet skis.
Do you have any Jets gear at the Ultimate Fan Zone? Because I need some. I'd prefer not to drive to Winnipeg if I don't have to. Not Moose Jaw's a lot closer. The funny thing is, however, when you climb in your vehicle here and you drive to Winnipeg to a Jets game, do you know what your GPS says?
No.
Turn right at Bell MTS Place in 507 miles. It's literally straight for 507 miles right and then turn right.
Right to the
It'll
arena.
Take you right to the rink. That is unbelievable. That's enough of a ad there for the Ultimate Fan. So we're down to 90 seconds. And the Mad Greek. Moose Jaw.
It's a quick draw.
Authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining. Visit their website at madgreekeatery.com. You're going to say it's the Leafs.
I will. At one point in the second period, shots were 19-1 Toronto against Winnipeg in the period. They were 29-10 overall. But Winnipeg did such a great job locking down the middle, and Connor Hellebuyck did his job. So the Leafs dominate like that, but they didn't get to any great scoring zones. So once they do, they're going to get better.
I'm going to take the backing of my team, and that's the viewers, the Rod Squad. Greg Klevgaard says, it's Montreal. Got two good goalies, 1A, 1B. John Schmidt says, Roddy, the Habs are the best and deepest Canadian team. Feels a little like 1993.
The 1P, 1A, that's Price and Allen.
Gotcha. Whatever it is. Yeah, the typo worked.
It did.
So there's your face-off. I'm saying Montreal. He's saying Toronto, but in the back of my mind, I'm sticking with Calgary.
It's a good pick.
We're not even a week into the regular season.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we've got Rich Sutter, our NHL analyst, and from Hockey Night in Canada, Ron McLean. Great show today. Thanks to Stevie Baggs, Jermaine Franklin, and all of you. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live and here at noon Eastern on Game Plus. Game Plus. I got balls.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.